Would you all turn with me to the scripture reading today? It comes from John 20, verses 19 to 30 in your pew Bibles. It's page 1686. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father had sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for your grace. We are thankful for the power and the meaning of the resurrection in our lives, and we pray that you would today give us another understanding of the resurrection. And Lord, help us continue to celebrate your life in our lives by the way we obey you, the way we worship you, the way we live. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together like this as a people under God for your sake. I pray that as I just share my reflection on the word, that, Lord, you would bring light and clarity to what you have taught us and revealed to us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So as mentioned earlier, we are still in this season of Easter, and I want us to continue to teach about, I want to continue to teach about the meaning and the significance of the resurrection. The resurrection, as I shared last week, is really unique to the Christian faith. It is something that we don't want to negotiate or think that's something that we want to compromise. It's really the source of our hope. The message, and it's powerful. It's not just a theoretical philosophical thing. It's a deep-rooted truth, and it's something that we want to put our hope in, our trust in, and our faith in. By the resurrection, we have hope to be born again and renewed in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it, what I just shared? But sometimes the word gets out slowly. Sometimes you have some great news to share, and the word doesn't always get to you fast. Being the youngest, I was always the last to find out. I remember we were getting ready to move, and I didn't know that we were moving until like a couple of months before. And my older sisters, everyone knew about it, and they went, "Oh yeah, didn't you know we're moving? When?" "Oh, a couple of months." I'm like, "What?" I didn't have this time, and it's frustrating to be the last one to find out. But you know. Can you imagine about the people maybe who didn't witness the risen Christ firsthand? You know, they heard all these rumors. What do you make of it? You know, it'd be easy to believe that Jesus rose again if we saw him again, but what if you're like one of the later ones to find out? And we here, you know, 2,000 years later, we are kind of the late ones to find out about this resurrection thing. And so sometimes we struggle with that, the last to hear about the resurrection. And imagine how Thomas felt going through all of that. He wasn't there. He didn't get to see that wonderful instance where Jesus came from the dead, and he ate with them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they received it like this rushing wind. And this powerful moment, Thomas was the guy left out. And you know, I kind of want to stick up a little bit for Thomas today. I've heard many sermons about Thomas and saying, don't be a doubting Thomas. Don't be that Thomas kind of person who's very skeptical. But you know, I really sympathize with Thomas. He wasn't there. He found out later. In our lives, we live a life where there are many Thomases among us. We have witnessed the power of the resurrection, but sometimes we haven't really seen it for ourselves, and it's hard for us. Is this really real? Can we believe this? And yet we live in a day and age where results and evidence are very important. Results, evidence, scientific proof. And until then, we're not moved by the message of Easter, and we're suspicious of any of its messengers. We're wondering, can we really believe this? And I want to be the first to admit, like, there are sometimes struggles to believe in the resurrection. And you know, the amazing thing is, especially when I teach children, I just love how you talk to them about prayer. You talk to them about these strange things that are revealed in the Bible, like the Trinity, and they just receive it with such faith. And I'm so challenged by that. I remember doing this Bible study once, and I thought, you know what, I don't know if I should do this with little kids. I mean, they're only in grade 4, grade 3. Should I really talk about this thing called the Trinity? I don't know, maybe they won't get it. So I very kind of cautiously try to teach them about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, and how these three are one, and this is the God that we worship. And you see, you know, instances of all of them in the Bible, but this is still one God. And at the end of it, I just kind of closed my eyes, and like one eye, like hands covered, like, did you guys understand? And the kids were like, yeah. No, wait, maybe you're too young. Maybe you didn't understand. Maybe it's too difficult. And they just understand. I said, wait, so Holy Spirit, God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, three people, like, yeah, one God, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, maybe something's wrong with me. And there's something amazing about the faith of children that we can learn from. And as we get older, it's interesting how we make life so much more complicated. And many will come to faith through just trust and childlike faith, but many will not. And Jesus even says to them, you know, blessed are those who see, who believe and not see. But the fact is, some need to see. And we're in a world that struggles to see the resurrection. And how do you show them the resurrection and the power? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I believe for us in this generation, we are sort of like the Thomas generation. We've been the one afterwards. And I'd like to say that it's not going to be about convincing proofs and arguments. I think I've been in school far too long. I was just thinking about life after college. I was in school for, I guess, seven years after college and continuing. I know some of you gathered here have been in school even longer. Something about us, I guess we're just perpetual students. I don't know, something about Asian Americans. I don't know why, but we just keep going to school. Something wrong with us. But I have learned just studying and writing a lot of papers that it's amazing how you can write papers and do research, and you can always find something to back up what you think. You know, if you can just find the right facts to support yourself, it's amazing what you can find. And in my experience when I was younger, I thought, you know, if you could just find a Christian who was smart enough, you know, a philosopher who was Christian, who was just wise enough to explain the gospel, then surely we'd all just come to Christ. And I've had these great, great conversations, and I thought I really nailed it. I was very convincing. But people continue to walk away unmoved. Because the fact is, facts in themselves are not as solid as we think they are. Often we use facts to kind of just support what we already think we know. And we just kind of collect information to make us seem smarter. No, the fact is, when it comes to things, especially a faith and a living trust in Jesus Christ, it's not going to simply come about by convincing proofs. We're not going to have this great debate at the end of the age and see, like, who can find more points to say yes for Jesus Christ. And the fact is, to not believe in the resurrection, to not believe in the hope that is offered through the gospel, requires just as much faith as it is to believe in it. And so what is the thing that changes us? What is the thing that will convince us? What is it that can speak to a world of Thomases? And what is the thing? When I look at the word, I try to think about that. What is the thing that transformed Thomas? What was the truth that was presented to him that changed everything? And if I can say it very simply, it was when Jesus showed the scars. Showing the scars. Jesus stretched out his hands and showed where he had been wounded. He showed the scars. He showed the wound on his side from the spear. And it's in that presentation of the scars and showing the scars, that is when Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." That is when his whole life had changed. Showing the scars. You see, Jesus encountered them and he revealed to them the sufferings that he had endured under the cross. And why is this so powerful? How does this change people? How does it show the reality of the resurrection? You see, those scars represented the cross. And the cross, as you read here in the Bible, it represents all of the suffering, all of the heartache, all of the pain that the world faces when we are against God and we are against each other. It pretty much sums up all of the violence and the evil that happens when we turn our backs against God and we turn our backs against our neighbor. And the painful brutality of the cross is a symbol of all the pain that we face in this world, both physical, emotional, mental, everything is all symbolized in the cross. You know, people wonder, why do you lift up the cross so much when it is such a symbol of pain and violence and suffering? Why is that the central image of the church? Why is it that we rallied around the cross? In fact, many of us don't want to come into churches because it seems that we have this cross. You know, how depressing. I remember going with a friend of mine. We walked into a church, and there, right as we opened the doors, there's this huge cross, and we see Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. And I remember my friend muttering, "Get over it. You know, get over it. This is too depressing." And you've seen this movement sometimes in our churches that we have kind of sterilized the cross. We've made it wonderful. We've made it gold and beautiful. And, you know, I don't want to criticize any of the crosses in this room, but but everyone can't help but looking at them now, I know. But isn't it interesting how the cross has become so uncomfortable for us? In fact, I remember reading one church, they asked to remove the cross because it looked too earthy and it made them feel uncomfortable. So they put a very sterilized one, kind of a very innocuous one, very straight, symmetrical, nice geometric shape. We want to cover up the cross because it makes us uncomfortable. Our crosses are tame and we want to make it pleasant. But Jesus continues to say, no, you see, it is the cross that is so powerful. You see, it is the scars that come from that cross that we want to display. And by displaying those scars is how we show the power of the resurrection. Because what are we doing when we show the scars? We are basically saying to the world, look, I have undergone the greatest suffering of the world. The cross symbolizes all the pain that we have in this world. And it says, look, I have faced the cross. I have endured the cross. But I have overcome the cross because I stand here today as one who has not been killed by it, but I have overcome it. And you see, this world is looking for a church that will not be afraid to show the cross, to show the ugliness of the world, and to say, yes, the world is great. The world is painful. That is why we show the cross. We as Christians are not ignorant to suffering and pain. Many of the believers who first came to Christ were people under great suffering and great pain. And when they saw the cross, they said, finally, we see a God who understands our world. And that is why the cross is so important. But it's not just a message of, this is a cross. We're all in such a wicked world. And we're all going to eventually suffer under this wicked cross. But the point is, though you go to the cross, the good news of the resurrection is that you can overcome the cross. Yes, you can be scarred and damaged in this world, but there is hope. Though you suffer the scars, they will not destroy you. They will not kill you. You can overcome. This world is looking for a real acknowledgement of the pain and suffering that comes with the cross. In a world that has loneliness, oppression, persecution, forsakenness, injustice, cruelty, even death, we're not ignorant Christians. We're not here to say that these things don't have lasting marks. But they don't have to be the final mark. They don't have to be the things that end up being the mortal killing blow in our lives. Jesus faced all of these things. And yes, he was scarred, but it could not keep him down. It could not keep him dead. The resurrection teaches us that all the brutal things of this world can be overcome. And it's that kind of message that the world needs to hear. You see, we as Christians, we come before Jesus Christ and we say, God, we have been wounded by this world. It feels like we have been on a cross too. And we come to Jesus Christ with our wounds. And we feel like this is a mortal blow. But when we join Jesus on the cross and we die with him there, when Jesus Christ rose again, he said, you can rise again too. This is the hope that we have as Christians. You see, this is a lot more powerful than philosophical posturing or good evidence. This is the power that comes with the message of the cross, the story behind our scars, the testimonies of how we suffered but overcame by the amazing grace of Jesus. You see, it's revealing the story behind our scars that takes doubting Thomases around us and makes them believe. And what am I trying to say here? You know, so many of our churches, we are so quick to cover up our scars. We come through the doors, and the first thing we want to do is kind of put our hands behind our back. We want to show that we're people that are good. We're good Christian churchgoers. We want to act like nothing is wrong with us. We're very polite. We're very well-behaved. We feel like if there's any place where you should be on your best behavior, where you should show the best part of yourself, it should be a church. And what have we done? We've basically kind of created places where you come into a church and you look around. If a newcomer came in, he'd be like, you know, these people are super nice and like, wow, they have everything together. They are just the greatest people on earth. They're just so kind. They're so friendly. And it's wonderful. I'm not saying we shouldn't be like that. I appreciate that we're all like that. But I can't help but think that if someone came, they would think, but you know what? This church, it's totally irrelevant to me. I feel so out of place here. If they only knew the kind of scars I have in my life, man, they would kick me out in an instant. And how often have we felt that way in church? You know, share with them. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm always fine. Don't deviate from the answer. Just say you're fine and just walk on and eat the food. You know, we want to be very, very comfortable with each other. We don't want to show the scars because we're scared that the scars are the thing that will drive away people. But what have we faced in North America? We have a new epidemic that's happening. We have an amazing secularization of all of our churches. A sterilization of our churches. As we sterilize the cross, we have sterilized our faith. We have made our faith only applicable, only relevant to people who have done nothing wrong. Our churches are now much more comfortable for someone who grew up in a Christian family, stayed in a Christian family, and doesn't talk to non-Christian people. And if we do talk to non-Christian people, we're not going to mention it in the church. But you see, what we're doing is we're robbing the real power of the cross. We're robbing the real power of the resurrection in our lives. You see, what the world wants to see is not people who are perfect. Because when we see people who are perfect, we fool ourselves into thinking, maybe I can be perfect too without God. Or maybe we're thinking, maybe I'm the only one who needs help. Maybe I shouldn't ask for help because I'm so messed up. I don't want to ask for help from anyone else. It'd be too embarrassing.
But what Jesus does is he says, I'm not afraid to show you that I have been wounded by this world. I have many pains. I have suffered much. But as he stood before his disciples, he said, but look, look at my scars, even touch them, and see that I have not died. I am here today because God has raised me from the dead. The real power of the resurrection is to say, look at the scars. I should be dead. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm standing before you alive. Are you scarred? So am I. Are you despairing of life? Don't despair, because I despaired, but now I'm raised to life because of what Jesus did for me. See, that's the power of the resurrection. That is the power of the community here today. And you know, it's so hard, isn't it? Because to show those scars, to show the very, you know, tender, the vulnerable parts of us. You know, I don't recommend we just share like our deepest, darkest secrets immediately. Just make each other confess these dark things. But there is a power when you can kind of build a trust in a community and feel like this is the safest place on earth. Where when I show the things I struggle with, the things I'm afraid of, the things I fear, I will not be judged, but I will be encouraged. That I will be prayed for. That I will be given hope by my friends here. To say that though I am wounded, I come to this church and I realize that there are people here who have suffered too. And they will pray for me and they will love me and accept me. You know, a sign that is very dangerous for a church is when you start noticing that everyone looks the same, everyone acts the same. And then when someone different comes into the church, someone who behaves different, we all kind of part away from them. We kind of just hope they'll go away and we'll ignore them. We want to kind of, if it's the nail that sticks out, we sort of want to hammer them in. But the fact is, all of us are broken nails. We all stick out in different ways, if we're very honest with ourselves. And the church here is to say, we have all suffered. But we want to make this a place where we say, if you have been scarred, you're in the right place. Because this is the place of resurrection and healing. It's when Thomas saw that, wow, this is Jesus Christ who had suffered but was rose again. That though he had the scars, he was not destroyed by them. And it is that kind of thing that makes Thomas say, my Lord, my God. It is that thing that Thomas says, this is God. God who can conquer my wounds, conquer my suffering, conquer the separation that I have from God and from others. Jesus says to him when he sees him, he says, peace be to you. I know, Thomas, maybe in your life you've suffered much, but peace be to you. Look, I have scars. But I stand before you today to say, like, these are not the thing that have killed me. I am here today to say that I have risen. And that's what I want our church to be. A place to say, we have suffered much. We have gone through a lot of things. And, you know, just getting to know some of the stories of the people in the church here. I am so honored to know you, to know how much you have gone through. The amazing legacy that you've left, not just for yourself, but your families. The things that you endure. And I have taken such encouragement from it, to know that God is working in your life, continuing to raise you up in the midst of great discouragement and great struggle. And that's the kind of thing that has the power of the Holy Spirit in it. Because it's not because of you just kind of thinking of making the right decisions that you got up and got better. But it was only because of the grace of God, only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you overcame. And so you don't take credit for it. You know that only by grace I am here today. And that's the kind of thing the world needs to hear. This only by grace kind of power that works in our life. And see, this is so much more convincing than philosophical proofs. I remember reading in grad school a very powerful essay about a pretty important religious philosopher. And he's Christian. And you know, I was reading in this book, was very interesting because it was just testimonies of religious philosophers who were Christian. And why were they Christian? And you know what's really interesting as I was reading through this book? I was trying to find all these convincing proofs, you know, so I could use on my non-Christian friends or something. But, you know, time and time again, I'd read through it. And there were some people who wrote proofs and convincing arguments. But the ones that one that really struck me was this. He said, you know, beyond proofs, the real convincing proof that brought me to faith, I will be honest, are my relationships. It was my relationships that changed me. It was seeing people in the faith, living out their faith, the reality of the resurrection that changes me. And much more than kind of talking the talk, I would love to see a people of God that stands up and lives out the resurrection. How compelling, how powerful is that? Much more than any philosophical proof. You know, to those who doubt the Easter message, God is graciously willing to seek us out. You know, just like the disciples were, you know, hiding in their homes, huddled. Jesus went to their homes. And in those homes, he showed the scars. God finds a way to find us hiding away, and he says, peace. And he speaks it into our lives. He looks at all of our histories, and he says, you know, I have suffered much, but the resurrection is here. And as a challenge to us in the Easter season, do we know of people huddled away in their homes, in the private places of their lives, hurt and scared? Is there a place of maybe someone in our lives that we can kind of go to their homes, you know, maybe symbolically or really, truly, and say, you know what? I've suffered too. And just like Jesus, to show the scars. That's the power of our message. We went to the Chinese club at Riderwood, and I was just so impressed by the community that's there. How, you know, some of them might be suffering from loneliness or boredom or just struggles in their family, and they're there for each other. And just to see the love and the compassion that they give to people who are Christian and not Christian alike, that they offer that Christian hope in the midst of their community. And it's not tied with church, like they're not, you know, you have to come to CCC and become a member. It's just really, we're people of faith and we just want to be there for you because God has been there for us. It's that kind of thing that has a resurrection power behind it. And my hope is that our church can think of that. How can we display our scars? And though as scary as it might be, how can we make this church a safe place that if someone came in here and showed their scars, we would love them and accept them? Because it's in showing the scars that we will reach out to this Thomas generation that we live in. The world is desperate to find out hope beyond death. And we can show it by showing our scars. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be people who are willing to show our scars and to share the testimony behind the scars. Lord, we know this world is not looking so much for proofs as much as a testimony that shows the power of our faith. We pray that you convict us and put us in places that we can share our stories more. Lord God, we want to be people that show the reality of the resurrection, to celebrate and to be thankful and to show just the real power that comes in it. Lord, help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold. Help this church to be a safe place where people can show their scars and not be judged, but loved and accepted. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.